Open your Bibles, if you would, to the very portion that Brother Neil read, Acts chapter 4. Last week we finished off chapter 3, and now we're going to venture into chapter 4. And the setting of this chapter is the lame man is being made whole. And what a picture of us. What a picture of us, we who be made whole by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we're born again and given faith to believe on Christ. Redeemed. The reason we're given that faith and we're born again is because we were redeemed 2,000 years ago at Calvary's cross. Isn't that wondrous? That's just wondrous. So, Peter and John, they had walked into the temple, and there was a man there, big and a lame man. A man lame from his mother's womb, the scripture told us. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, and I said, rise up and walk. And beloved, that man walked up. And he didn't get up and start walking. He was leaping and jumping up and down and praising God for the mercy he'd received. And then it says he was clinging to the apostles as they went into the temple. And there was a whole bunch of folks there. We're going to find out that out of that group of people, 5,000 men were saved. 5,000. So here's the setting now. Now, the Sadducees send the captain of the temple over and come with him. And they hear Peter preaching Christ, and they're grieved. They are grieved. Remember before the Lord saved us? And think of now. We're no longer grieved by the preaching of the gospel. We love it. That's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. That's a mighty work. If you love the gospel today, if you're here sitting here and loving the gospel, praise God for his mercy. Praise God, the Holy Spirit, for regenerating us and teaching us the things of Christ, giving us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. My. And these 5,000 men have received the same faith as we have. My, oh my. So in Acts chapter 3, we saw the sovereign power of God at work, didn't we? This lame man lame from his mother's womb, never walked in his life, leaping, jumping, and praising God. Absolutely amazing. And then Peter preached that sermon to all who the Lord, and you remember too, the Lord gathered all these people together. And amongst all those people, we see he had 5,000 of his elect. 5,000 of his sheep. And they, when they went into that temple, they had no idea they were God's sheep. Because look what it says in verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 men. What an amazing blessing and honor that God gave us a desire to study this wonderful book, the Bible. And that now we get to go through this book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we get to see the wondrous works of God. And we love it. We love it. We have a desire to learn about it. We have a desire now to examine these gospel truths together when so many have no care for any of the scriptures at all. Praise God that he's given us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, after Christ. Praise God that he's given us hearing ears and seeing eyes to look to Christ when so many around us, friends, family members, have absolutely no desire to look into the scriptures. Again, in the first part of chapter 4, we see that God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to us through Luke, who is the writer, not the author. He's the writer. The Holy Spirit is the author. And he reveals the hateful attitude of self-righteous religionists towards the gospel. And remember this too, that there's nothing new under the sun. Not only does our God never change, but unless God does a miracle of grace, man will never change. But if God wrought a miracle of grace in us, we're never the same, are we?
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. We're never the same. We are never the same again. But see, man doesn't change through generations. We're still dead in trespasses and sins. Babies are being born every day in this world, and they're being born dead in trespasses and sins. My, oh my. So this same hateful attitude has been the same in every generation, including the current one. So what are these things recorded for? Well, they're recorded for our learning, beloved. This is set forth before us for our learning, to equip us as we go through this world, to see that persecution doesn't just come to us, but it came to our brothers and sisters in Christ of all through the ages. And think of the amount of saints that have read this book, the Bible, and read even the Acts of the Apostles, and being encouraged by it, being uplifted by it, as God the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth that are set in these words. Let's read verses 1 to 4 here. And as they spake unto the people, so Peter and John are still speaking to the people, they're still preaching to them, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Here they come. Here comes the religious crew. Here they come. And look what it says in verse 2. And the Holy Spirit's recorded this for us, being grieved. They're grieved in their hearts, beloved. Why are they grieved? Well, they're grieved that Peter and John taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I ask you, beloved saint of God, are you not thankful that resurrection comes through the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen, right? That's the only place it comes. And they're grieved about that. They're grieved about these religious Pharisees and Sadducees and priests are grieved, it says, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That means that only through Christ can the dead be raised. Only through Christ, because he rose, we're going to rise. Right? So Christ's life is just as important as his death, which is just as important as his resurrection. And just as important, see, his humility in coming down to this world is just as important as the life that he lived perfectly for us, and that death that he lived in our place, and then being risen from the grave, the scripture says he's raised for our justification. It all has to happen, doesn't it? And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's mediating for us. So in order for his mediatorial office to be fulfilled, he had to go back up to heaven as the God-man, as something he wasn't when he came down. My, oh my. Isn't that wonderful? So they're preaching. They're just preaching what every gospel preacher preaches, that the resurrection from the dead only comes through Christ. Only comes through Christ. Didn't he not say, I'm the resurrection and the life? He that believeth in me shall never die. Well, we're going to die physically, but what he meaning is we're going to live for eternity with him in glory, his elect. And then it says, and they laid hands on them, and put them in a hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we see here that the Holy Temple is in chaos amongst the leaders, not amongst Peter and John and the people. They're listening, and Peter and John are preaching, but there's chaos in the leadership. what in the world is going on? The religious who's who, right? And we shouldn't be surprised by this, because the religious who's who was against Christ right from the beginning. He came unto his own received him not, right? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, they wanted nothing to do with him. But now here's the lame man. He's been healed. He's right in front of them. He's been healed. And he's leaping and praising the Lord Jesus. Well, thousands of Jews were listening to Peter and John preach the gospel. Preach that only through Christ is the resurrection. And we know there's thousands of them because 5,000 men believed. And take note of these two who were faithful apostles. And what did they speak about? They preached Christ. They didn't mess around with anything else. They just preached Christ. They set the most needful thing amongst their hearers. Christ. He's the most needful thing for us, right? He's the one needful thing. Do you know in all our life and all our dealings with this life, Christ is the most needful thing? And no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, he is the most needful thing. That's why Paul said, set your mind on things above, like we saw on last week. Set your mind on things, set your affection on things above. On where Christ, where he dwells. So these religious rulers, they've been stunned and confounded at the great outpouring of God the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And by the conversion, remember there was 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 men. And now we see another 5,000. My, oh my. But look in verses 3 and 4. We see that the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came for them. They came for them. They strictly came there to lay hold of them. Look at this. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold into the next day. For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Oh, look at the power of God, the Holy Spirit at work. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Right? What comes first, faith or regeneration? Regeneration. These men are born again. And they've been given the gift of faith just like we have. They've been made willing in a day of God's power. You see anywhere where they said, bow your head and repeat this prayer? It's not in the text, is it? See, that stuff is foolishness. God did the saving. These folks didn't move a muscle. The Lord saved them. They believed what they heard. My, oh my. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Well, these Sadducees, they quickly rally their forces against the apostles. Oh my. Just as they had against Christ. And here they are, they've attempted to silence the gospel by crucifying Christ. Little do they know that the gospel's now going to go forth everywhere. It's going to go. And so, in another attempt now to silence the gospel, they put Peter and John into bonds overnight. Because it's late at night, and they think, well, we're going to shut them up. We're going to lock them up. We're going to put them in bonds. Why? Just for preaching the gospel. That's all they're doing. They're not causing a disturbance. They're just preaching the gospel. The only one who's disturbed is the self-righteous Pharisees. We see there's other people rejoicing. 5,000 of them, they're now rejoicing, aren't they? My, oh my. They attempt to silence the gospel, but we see in verse 4 that their efforts were futile. Because it says here, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. So here they're trying to silence the gospel, and the Lord saves 5,000 people. What's going to happen now? Oh my, there's going to be a lot more people talking about Jesus, isn't there? Yep. They already got 3,000 they can't handle. Now they got another 5,000. Oh my. Isn't the Lord wonderful? And then they go home and they tell their families, and who knows, the Lord saved one or two in the family, and you just doubled that amount, haven't you? Oh my, it's amazing. That's why we just pray as the message goes out of here and God does it with it, whatever he pleases. Oh my, just let it fly. Right? Just let it go. My, oh my. So we see again that, and this is all according to God's plan and purpose, because they are now going to be brought before the rulers. So this is all part of God's plan and purpose. They're not freaking out. They get put into bonds. Well, hey, you're going to put me in jail for preaching the gospel? I'm going to preach the people in jail then. Right? Oh my. I'll tell you what. Got a whole new group. Remember Paul and Silas in prison? They just started preaching the gospel and the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Oh my. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's the word today, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look to Christ. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come. Look to Christ today. And just as always, the power of darkness are confounded by the Prince of Light. So let we who are the redeemed take heart. For this record of the first persecution of God's servants, and let us be assured that Christ cannot fail. He will take out of whatever we go through, and he will make it for his glory and for our good. He's going to give Peter an opportunity to preach the gospel to the leaders of Israel. Now, they might not like what he hears, but they're going to hear it. And let us look and see how they do it. They do it by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. I can't get up here and preach without God going before me. If you're witnessing to a friend or family member, ask the Lord to go before you. Ask him to soften their hearts. My, prepare their hearts to hear the word. And our God is, he's king. He's absolutely rules this world in absolute sovereignty. And scripture says he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. And we see here, Peter and John, they're arrested for preaching the gospel of salvation through Christ and him alone. No other reason. No other reason. My, oh my. Brother Dan said you and I were in the temple and they come up, and we're preaching to Christ, and they arrest us, and that's what happened. They just threw him in jail. Just because you're preaching the gospel. No other reason. Just, there you go. We don't like what you're doing. We're going to shut you up. But see, one thing that they did not know. They may bind up the servants of God. But God is not bound, beloved. Praise his mighty name. He not bound. 5,000 souls are ushered into the kingdom of God. Oh my! You may bind God's servants. You may try to shut God's servants up, his people. But his Holy Spirit is still working mightily. And moving and saving whom God wills, when he wills. And these 5,000 men, this was their ordained time of love. They were ordained to believe. Right? Scripture tells us, and we're going to see later on in the books of Acts, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Why do we believe? Because God ordained us to eternal life, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Praise his mighty name. My, he didn't ordain us to attain wrath, beloved, but to attain mercy through Christ. Paul said, I've obtained mercy. Each one of us, we've obtained mercy, beloved. It's wonderful. And we see here, again, they're arrested just for preaching salvation through Christ, just for preaching that you must be redeemed by the blood of Christ. That resurrection only comes through Christ. Just trust him and believe. What great boldness God gave these men. Remember, think of this. Just a little while before, Peter ran when a young maiden asked him, "Do you know Christ?" "Well, I don't know him." No. 3 times he denied Christ. And here he is. Now, remember, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me?" Never mentioned his sin at all. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Oh, what's Peter doing? He's feeding God's sheep, isn't he? God, the Holy Spirit's made him bold. And he's preaching the gospel now. And just as every grace preacher, every gospel preacher sent by God, we preach to everyone who's there. And God does the work, doesn't he? Isn't that amazing? God's mighty power saved 5,000 men. And think of this, too. We see here that the principal point of their doctrine on this occasion was the resurrection of Christ, that they preached resurrection through Christ and him alone. That was the principal point while they were talking. And this just grieved the Sadducees. And it grieved the religious temple leaders. My, oh my. They didn't even know who they were talking about. The long-awaited Messiah had come and gone. And they're grieved about hearing about him. And they don't even know. They're in the dark, aren't they? They're still in the dark, beloved. Do you know you can't even go over to Israel and evangelize? They put you in jail. Oh my. It's forbidden to proselyte in most of the Middle East countries. And the other countries, the Muslim countries, they're just either kill you or throw you in jail and leave you there and torture you. Oh my. But does it stop God's people from going over there and wanting to talk to people about Christ? Nope, not at all. Isn't that wonderful? My, oh my. Pray for Sister Dee's grandson, David. He's in the jungles of Ecuador preaching the gospel. My, oh my. Proclaiming Christ. Left all the stuff in this country just to go down there and preach the gospel to the natives down there. That's a calling, isn't it? My, oh my. So with great boldness, these two men bear faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ right in the midst of God's enemies. How do we know they were God's enemies? They're grieved at what they're preaching. They're grieved about it. That they taught and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And take note too that Peter and John, they're not sent to meddle in social affairs, are they? They're not sent to, think of this, they're not even sent to shut down the gin joints and the drinking establishments in Jerusalem, are they? They're sent to preach the gospel. Now, when the Lord saves people, things will change, won't they? By the power of God. And by the power of God alone. Isn't that amazing? Oh, no, they weren't out there preaching social reform or anything like that. They were preaching Christ, beloved. My, oh my. Again, they didn't even attempt to shut down the dens of vice in Jerusalem. They just preached Christ. Preach Christ. That's what's most important. That's the one thing needful. You see, men can clean up and women can clean up and still be dead in trespasses and sins and have no hope. They just become self-righteous. And I know I was one of them. Just become self-righteous. And oh, when God delivers you from that, oh, praise his mighty name. And now we find our liberty, don't we, Brother Zane? True liberty, which we've been looking at in Galatians, haven't we? True liberty. I'll tell you what, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I'll tell you. So they were declaring, think of this too, Peter and John were eyewitnesses of Christ. They saw him. They heard him. They walked with him. They talked with him. John laid his head on the breast of Christ and heard the heartbeat of God, the God-man. My, oh my. I remember laying my head on my brother's breast when I was little. I always wanted to get in bed and just crawl and just put my head on their chest, and he could hear their heartbeat. John, he heard the heartbeat of God, the God-man. My. You know what else they were preaching? They were preaching the death of Christ as the sinner's only substitute. How do we know this? Well, look at Acts chapter 3. Look over in verses 13 to 15. My, oh my. Look at this. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up. There, he was delivered up for our sin, wasn't he? He was delivered up to be our substitute. And denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One. What a title. And the just. Amazing titles. He's the only just one. And desired a murder to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, another title of our King, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. They also, we know from our text, they preached the resurrection of Christ as the representative of God's elect. In Ephesians, Paul wrote this, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together with Christ, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ. I believe it. Scripture declares it. We believe it, don't we? See, God's outside of time and space. He's seen the end from the beginning. My, oh my. And then they also preach the exaltation of Christ as Lord over all. Look at Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And look at verses 32 to 36. Acts chapter 2, verses 32 to 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel... I jumped to 36. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. He had appeared to the apostles. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, they preach this. These are the aspects of preaching the gospel. And then they also, do you know they also preach the second coming of Christ? Stay there, or go over one more chapter, Acts chapter 3. And let's read verses 19 to 21. Remember when we looked at this, we saw that the time, when the scripture says the times of refreshing, that's the second coming of Christ, that's the when it's all over. It says this in verses 19 to 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And here's that little word again, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. When's Christ coming back? Exactly when God has planned. And no man knows the hour, the day, or the season. God knows it, though. That's good enough for us, right? We're just going to rest in his sovereignty while we're here. He may come back in our lifetime. He may not come back in our lifetime. But we're going to trust him all the same, aren't we? Oh, my. And then, God has promised salvation and eternal life to all who trust Christ. Again, look at verse 19 of Acts chapter 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then look at verse 26 in that same chapter. It says, unto you first God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. My, oh my. We've been turned from our iniquities. And we will one day be with God forever. We're promised eternal life through Christ. My. Are you excited? Won't it be wonderful? My, to leave this old life, be in the presence of the King forever, where we'll never have to battle sin or never have to struggle against anything ever again in our lives. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. And we see in that the text that Brother Neil read, verses 1 to 14 of this chapter, that the preaching of the gospel absolutely infuriated the religious rulers, these self-righteous, false religious Jews. They were in positions of authority over the Jewish people. And the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And they were grieved at what they heard. See, that what makes us rejoice. Oh my, the greatest news we've ever heard in our lives makes the unbeliever grieve. What a blessing that God has made us to rejoice over the gospel. Because left to ourselves, we'd be in the same spot as them. The only one who made us to differ is God, and God alone. Praise his mighty name, right? Praise his mighty name. My. Well, why were they grieved? Well, the preaching of the true gospel of Christ exposed their false doctrine, didn't it? It exposed their traditions. Their religious lies of do this and live instead of look to Christ and live. And the preaching of the true gospel of God's mercy through Christ and through the merits of Christ alone proved that God had not accepted their sinful attempts to justify themselves. See, they thought they were justified before God because, number one, they were Jews. And number two, they supposedly followed the law of Moses and they followed everything that the Sadducees or the Pharisees told them. No, they didn't. They were lawbreakers just like us, weren't they? Oh, my. In their sinful attempts, they had tried to be made righteous by trying to keep the law of Moses. And the gospel exposes this as a false hope. Just like the gospel exposes any works of man to gain merit and favor with God is a false hope. Praise God, our hope is in Christ. The only true hope for sinners. And that's because God gave us that, right? Isn't it wonderful? My, it makes you want to shout for joy, doesn't it? God's done this for us. He could have just left us where we were, but he didn't. In his mercy and his grace and his great everlasting love for us, he showed us mercy in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're saved for Christ's sake. Not for anything we've done, but for Christ's sake and Christ's sake alone. That's good news, isn't it? And all who come to Christ, all who flee to Christ shall be saved. Oh my, it's wonderful. And the true preaching of the gospel proved that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Not only did he say it to himself, remember the lady at the well? I that speaketh unto thee, I am he. Oh my, what a declaration. She's saying, we know Messiah cometh. And she says, I that speaketh unto thee am he. Every time I read that, I'm in awe, beloved. Every time I hear somebody read that, I'm in awe. He just revealed himself to that woman. Think of all the people he walked by on the way to that well. And didn't even reveal himself. And he says to her, I'm he. And then she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she goes back to the town and tells the people in the city, come hear a man who told me everything I did. come hear him. And they came, right? And they believed not because what she said, they believed because what he said. Isn't that wonderful? My, oh my. Remember he said, I must needs go through Samaria? Well, there's a bunch of sheep over there, isn't there? Bunch of God's sheep over there. See? They had to go to the temple. That lame man had to be healed. He was born to manifest. Remember, to manifest Christ in his greatness and his glory. He had to be healed. He had to be healed right where he was. Peter and John had to go into that temple because there was an appointment for 5,000 sheep that would hear by God-given faith and by being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and they would trust and believe what Peter and John preached. That's what happened to us. We heard the gospel at one time, didn't we? And by God-given faith, we say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, my. My. In the preaching of the glorious resurrection, why did this grieve them? Well, the preaching of the glorious resurrection, again, proved that he's the glorified God-man. That he is who he says he is. And that he's now ruling over them. And we see by their actions, we see a picture of natural man. By their wicked hearts, they were grieved at what Peter and John were preaching. I remember before the Lord saved me, I didn't want to hear the gospel. I had multiple people try to tell me. I did not want to hear it at all. Number one, I wasn't no sinner in my eyes. Right? So I got mad at some fellas telling me I'm a sinner. Do you get mad, Dave, when someone told you were a sinner? My, oh my. We got mad. Did you get mad when someone told you were a sinner? The first time you're like, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, yeah, you are. I never forget the first time someone asked me, do you know Christ? And I said, well, of course I do. I'm a Catholic. He goes, I didn't ask you if you were a Catholic. He goes, I asked you if you know Christ. Man, I had never read the Bible. Never cracked the Bible open. Didn't have a clue. And that's when the Lord arrested me. That's when he started working on me. And this man said, there's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that's truth, isn't it? We now know as God's people that there's only one mediator. There's only one person we can go to for salvation of our soul. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? If we gain everything, all the gold and all the silver in this world, all the money, he became even richer than Gates and those other fellas and lost our own soul. And then the scripture says right after that, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, all the gold and money and all the... That it can't buy your soul. Can't buy salvation. Salvation must come by the blood of Christ. And that's the only way salvation comes. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. So when they preached the gospel, it caused these Jewish religious leaders to be absolutely lose control. They were upset. They were grieved. Now there's a bunch of people that the Lord saved. Oh, we're going to lose our prestige. See, all they were thinking about was what they would lose. They had no concern for the souls of those they talked to. And that's the difference between a gospel preacher. He don't care about gaining nothing. God makes us content where he plants us. And our whole mission is to preach the gospel to the Lord's people. And to love you and be with you. And to rejoice in the gospel with you. But my main mission is to preach Christ. Right? And I've told you before, I couldn't do it without you guys. We all have a part in this. As a body. But these guys, they were worried about losing prestige and all this stuff. And any generation during the gospel age, including this generation that we're living in, when the true gospel is preached, number one, the lies of false preachers are exposed. They're exposed. And then the sinful, self-righteous works of unregenerate men are exposed. And the sinful wickedness of hell-deserving sinners is revealed. And when the gospel is preached, the exaltation of Christ occurs. He's lifted up high and mighty. He is the only Savior of sinners. Look to Christ and live. He's exalted. He's the God-man who now, right now, beloved, he's ruling and reigning right now. Do you know he's interceding for every one of we who believe? Every one of us, he's interceding for us. My heart, that heart fills our hearts with joy, doesn't it? And false, self-righteous preachers, they lose control over those who believe in Christ. You know, the gospel preacher is not seeking control over anybody. I stand before you and preach the gospel. You're my brothers and sisters. I'm no better than you. You've heard me say many times, I'll stand up here. There's not a little lift like this at the foot of the cross, is there? We're all on the same ground. There's not a preacher lift or an evangelist lift. We're all looking to Christ. Sinners saved by the grace and mercy of God on the same footing. That's how it should be. I'm a servant of yours. The men who are deacons are servants. We're servants to the church. That's what we are. That's why the scripture says that the preacher's not to lord over the congregation. No. No. I'm to lead, which I do, but I'm a servant more than anything. And we're all servants to Christ, aren't we? If we're truly born again, we're all servants of Christ. All of us. My. No, religion likes power, likes to have control over men, not grace. My main concern is to point you to Christ, to exalt Christ before you, and pray that God the Holy Spirit would teach you and guide you and direct you and have you grow in the grace and mercy of Christ. And if there's someone who does not know Christ, oh, that he'd regenerate them. Oh, that they'd be born again. And be saved. So they can rejoice like we do. In this wondrous salvation. Isn't it wondrous? It's wondrous. My. So instead of being interested in the miracle that just occurred, they're manifesting their hatred toward the one who actually performed the miracle, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, this is just natural man. This is where we were too. We can't look at them and say, oh, look at them. No, we were there. I was there. I was a self-righteous, religious Pharisee. My, oh my. And now we see Peter and John, they're treated like common criminals. They're taken and thrown into prison. They have somebody watch over them for the whole night. They didn't deserve to be in jail. They were just preaching the gospel, didn't they? That's all they were doing. They broke no laws, and yet they were treated in the manner that they did, that they were criminal. And all they were doing is preaching the gospel, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his amazing grace. My, oh my. And listen to this. Christ said this, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, they throw God's servants in jail. Gates of hell ain't going to prevail against the church. The gospel's going to just keep going. And who's the church? It's not a building, is it? It's his people. It's his people. If we didn't have this building anymore, we could meet anywhere. As a group. As a called out assembly, you see? It's the people who are the church. They're called ecclesia in the Greek, called out ones. That's what we are. Called out of this world, beloved. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And again, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter and John, they'd gone to the temple. The lame man was healed. The door was open for them to preach the gospel. And they just let it fly, didn't they? I'll tell you what. I remember talking to Gene Harmon. You've heard me use this many times. I was talking to Gene Harmon one time. I said, come up and preach for us. When I was out in Oregon, he said, that's like saying, sick him to a dog, Wayne. Oh, man. It's true. Man, we love preaching the gospel. That's what we're called to do. We're called to exalt Christ in him alone. And we see here that they were given an open door to preach the gospel by God's grace and his power. And the Holy Spirit of God, by his almighty power, 5,000 men are saved. They're born again. 5,000 people. My. They were given ears to hear, faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so rejoice, beloved of God. They were given the same faith we have. There's only one faith, right? They're given the same faith we have. My. And even, think of this, even the arrest of Peter and John was planned and purposed in old eternity by God to come to pass. What comfort that can give us in our lives. God has purposed and planned our walk. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we're only good in Christ, aren't we? Oh my. Ordered by the Lord. So let we who are the redeemed rest in this God-honoring truth that God has not changed. He's still watching over his people. His word is still not bound. Right? He's not bound in any way. He's still sovereign. He's never given up his sovereignty. Right? Even when Christ left heaven, he was king when he left. He was king on earth, and he's king right now in glory, isn't he? He's not changed. He's still on his sovereign throne of power. And you know what? Absolutely nothing, and this needs to be said, absolutely nothing, not even the devil and all his demons united together, can stop our Lord Jesus Christ from doing what he has determined from eternity. I've been listening online to this fella, and he's talking about what's plaguing the religious world right now is all these prophecies. These people giving these prophecies, saying they're from the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, there's some of the most wicked things going on that way. Right? It's just awful. And they give the devil so much power. Nothing can stop, not even the devil and his angels, can stop God's purpose from coming to pass. Sister Diane brought this up one time. He's a created being. He's not God. But some people act like he's got so much power. Do you know the devil can only do what God allows him to do? How do we know? Well, remember, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, you got a hedge around him. You need to just drop that and he'll curse you. Lord said, go ahead, but you can't take his life. Oh, and Satan, he threw everything at him, didn't he? You know who preserved Job? Amen, Christ, sister. Our great God preserved him, just like he preserves you and I. Isn't that wonderful? He kept him. So let's read verses 5 to 6 now here. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John, that's not John the apostle, that's they believe that's one of the relatives of the high priest, and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Oh my. I loved when Neil was reading and they said, who are these unlearned men? Oh my. That's every gospel preacher. I'm at home being called that, eh? Because see, they were the uppity ups. They were the high ups. They were the ones who had spent years learning all this stuff, and they knew nothing. They knew absolutely nothing. And God saves a bunch of fishermen and is now using them for the gospel to go forth. My father-in-law is a fisherman. He's just like you and I, beloved. He's one of the most common guys I know. Wonderful man, but he's just a common fella. Hard worker. Oh my gosh. He reminds me of Neil and the boys and Joan. Just a hard, hard worker. But just a common fella. And these were just fishermen. Just like him. Oh my. And so the uppity ups were, well, these men aren't even learned. They see how religion looks down on grace. And yet God exalts the humble. Exalts the humble and brings down the proud. My, oh my. So we see here that Peter and John, they spent the night and they spent the night in prison. And then the next day there's a great gathering of these leaders. These ones who are the leaders over Israel. The who's who. The who's who. And they're, think of this too, they're bringing them, they threw them in prison and they're trying to intimidate them. They're trying to silence them, beloved. They're trying to shut their mouths. So they throw them in prison to try to shut their mouths. And then they're going to bring them before them thinking, well, we're going to bring them before them. Surely they're not going to say nothing to us. But they don't know that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to fill them with boldness so that they can proclaim the gospel. And again, you can try to shut up God's preachers, but the word of God is not bound. We saw that. They threw them in prison and 5,000 people were saved. My. And they're now facing this group of men simply because they were declaring that the lame man was healed by Christ and that resurrection only comes through Christ. And they thought John and Peter would be so fearful of them that they would cower down before them. Now let's look at verses 8 to 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. Be it known, my, Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. The very thing they didn't want to hear, they just preached it to them. By the power of God. The only way that we gospel preachers can get up here and preach the gospel is by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. God equips us, God sends us, and God keeps us preaching the word of God. It's all by him. And if you have any gift, every one of God's people have gifts. That gift is given to you by God the Holy Spirit. My, oh my. And they despised, these men despised what they were teaching. Oh, they thought they were going to cower down, but they thought they were going to fear the Jewish leaders, what they might do to them. But Peter was filled, it says, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And think again, Peter's fear of man was turned into a sincere, reverent fear of God. Remember he feared man? Three times he denied Christ. So that reverent fear of man, or that fear of man, is now being turned into a reverent fear of God. So the scripture tells us not to fear man, but fear he who can destroy both body and soul in hell, right? We're to fear God over men. And now we see this happening right before us. He now has a sincere, reverent fear of God, a sincere concern for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, a sincere concern for eternal souls. He's going to preach the gospel to those who hate him, those who want to shut him up. He's just going to let it fly. See, he has a burden for souls, just as every one of God's people do. We have a burden for the people around us, don't we? Friends, family members. My. And notice, too, notice in his words, he doesn't... Notice how Peter addresses them. He doesn't dishonor them. He honors their leadership role when he says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He acknowledges their office at that time. Charles Spurgeon said this: "You can catch more flies with a spoon full of honey than you can with a whole barrel of vinegar." So when we witness to people, let us not be critical of them. Let us present Christ to them. Let us present Christ and him crucified. Right? Let us present the love of God through Christ to sinners. And obviously Peter and John were probably concerned for their lives, but they're like, well, God's put us here. My. They're not afraid of these men now. And we see Peter, he don't hold back. He preaches the truth to them, doesn't he? He doesn't water it down. He preaches the truth to them. Very truth they despised, they hated. And he knew they had the authority to put him to death, put both of them to death. But what's he do? He just unloads the gospel, doesn't he? There it is. He doesn't say, well, you know, Caiaphas, you need to reform, and you need to do this and that, and, you know, then you might gain a little favor with God. No, he says, no, you're nothing but dead dog sinners, and you need Christ. My, he says, this man who you see, this impotent man, is now made whole by the power of God, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Oh, so how could those unbelieving Jews now deny that the healing of this impotent man was a good deed? They couldn't, could they? Because God did it. Oh my, look at verse 10 again. Peter tells him directly by what method this man was made whole. He does not hold back. He's speaking by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He's a faithful servant of God. And he says, "Be it known unto you and all, to all the people of Israel, let it be known to everyone, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Look at that. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do you know we're saved by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, beloved? "Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." Notice Peter didn't leave any of it out, did he, in verse 10? He didn't hold back nothing, did he? He did not. And God's preaching, we don't hold back nothing. He not only pointed the finger of guilt at them, right? But he also pointed them to the remedy. That by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man's made whole. And all of God's blood-washed saints are to declare this wonderful truth, that by the same Jesus who was crucified, he's been raised from the dead, and that it was by him and by his sovereign power sovereign healing power that this old man was made whole. And we proclaim that we're made whole by the sovereign power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And what do we say? Glory to his name. Brother Dave, can you close us in prayer?